That was The Last Rose of Summer, the best-known poem by the Irish poet Thomas Moore, set to music by the Irishman William Vincent Wallace. The pianist was Rosemary Tuck. Good afternoon. You're tuned to FM 90.9. It's Live and Local with Kevin Kelly. I'm Vincent Trouth, filling in this afternoon for him. My guests in the studio live today, an Irish group, Irish trio, traditional Irish performers, open the door for three. They will be tonight performing at 8 o'clock at the Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway in Urbana. They mine tune books and collections and recordings to find old and new tunes and new and old songs. And they're going to play for us pretty much right away. Left to right, sitting in front of me, we have Kieran O'Hare on the Illan pipes and whistle. Probably not at the same time. Well, maybe, right? Liz Knowles on fiddle, center, and then Pat Broder's guitar and vocals to my right. Good afternoon, folks.
It's not a guitar.
It's not a guitar?
No. It's a bouzouki.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, I've learned something. Okay, so now we know a bouzouki looks much like a guitar, and for the uninitiated eye, I have been exposed as being ignorant. It's okay, thank you. It's a beautiful instrument. It's just like a guitar. Double strung.
Forces of double strings, yeah.
Very good. Want to play first?
Sure.
Two double jigs from the Irish tradition. The first one's called Snug in the Blanket, and the second one is called Mrs. Ross's Jig. Thank you.
That was the group Open the Door for Three, performing live for us here on Live and Local with Kevin Kelly, Pat Broders, Liz Knowles, Kieran O'Hare, actually left and right, Kieran, Liz, and Pat, performing, as they told us, two jigs, Snug in the Blanket, and Mrs. Ross's jig, as it were. Well, that was tremendous.
Thanks a million.
Our listeners might be as ignorant as I am. I think I know what a jig is, but what's a jig?
Well, it's a type of dance tune. It's a melody, usually in 6/8 time.
Right.
Those two jigs, the first one comes from the tradition of Illan piping in Irish music. That jig is one that's particularly associated with a great piper called Liam O'Flynn. And the second jig comes from a collection of music that was collected around the middle of the 20th century, I believe, by a great collector and scholar of Irish music called Brendan Branagh in Dublin. And that's Mrs. Ross's jig. But you find jigs in all sorts of different European dance forms.
Absolutely,
in
yeah.
Scotland and England and Ireland, as well as on the continent. And you see the jig form showing up in Italian classical music and all this sort of
thing. Indeed, in fact.
Long pedigree.
Yes, classical music and part of the Baroque suite, the jig and all that
exactly.
sort of thing. Yeah, that's the same tradition, as it were, right? 6/8 time, all that. Shall we take a moment with those instruments? They make such fascinating sounds. When I teach music appreciation, I always tell them, start with the sounds. What are you hearing? So, Kieran, can you tell us about the Illan pipes? Kevin had prompted me with some questions, and I'll just sort of riff on them, having to do with, you know, for example, how do they differ, say, from the Highland pipes? What's going on with Illan pipes that the average listener might or might not know?
Well, the 50-cent explanation of the Illan pipes is that they are sort of the most sophisticated form of bagpipe ever devised. You may scoff at this, but actually it is an extremely complicated instrument. There are hundreds of different types of bagpipes all across Europe and North Africa and the Middle East. This is, you might say, the apotheosis of the bagpipe in that... basically, it differs from the Scottish bagpipes that everyone is familiar with because it's bellows blown. I don't blow into the bag. I inflate it with a bellows. Mm-hmm. That means that the air that I'm using is not impregnated with moisture from my lungs. It takes air from the atmosphere around me. So the reeds can be very, very delicate because mm-hmm. they don't have to be resistant to several gallons of spit which flow through a regular set of pipes.
Right,
so
right.
What I have basically is an instrument that I sit down to play that I don't blow into. The melody is played on a pipe called a chanter, which is a double reed instrument, a type mm-hmm. of oboe. There are three pipes playing three octaves of the note D that we call drones. Those mm-hmm. are single reeds, kind of a variant of what you'd expect in a clarinet. And this particular instrument is what's called a full set of pipes in that it has three additional pipes called regulators, which are modified versions of the chanter, which are double reed instruments, which we use to play sort of harmonic and simple rhythmic accompaniment. So with seven reeds, a bag, a bellows, and a wandering attention span, this is what it takes to get into control to play music on the Illan pipes.
I've always said, after that explanation, I've always said I always wanted to play the pipes, but I married them instead. It's just so much easier.
Really, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. My wife's a flute player and a piccolo player as well, and so... same thing. I married one. I can't play one.
Yeah,
I can blow across the top of a bottle. Liz has two fiddles with her, and the sort of generic question is, I asked it before the show, but I'll ask it for our listeners to know, what is the difference, if any, between a fiddle and a violin?
For me, it's the player. You can pick up a violin and play old-time music, Irish music, klezmer music, classical music. It's really what the player chooses to do with mm-hmm. the instrument. I think it's been a misstep when people think that a fiddle is a lesser violin or a violin that's maybe costs less or is in worse shape than a good brand new instrument or an old expensive instrument. Sometimes people make modifications, however, to various instruments to play certain kinds of music. I know sort of in old time maybe and some other types of music you might flatten the bridge, and the bridge is what holds up the strings mm-hmm. on the violin. And sometimes you want to flatten those to get a little bit more droniness so that you can hit other strings with other strings more.
Yeah. More double stops.
More double stops and things. The two instruments I have, one is a regular just fiddle violin, a maker from Chicago. It's actually kind of a new violin, but based on a Guarneri model, mm-hmm. which I love. But the other fiddle I'm carrying with me is a Hardanger, or a modern version of a Hardanger, which is actually a Norwegian make of fiddle that has strings over that bridge. And this one actually does have a flattened bridge so that you can play. You'll hear it's in that first set of tunes. I was hitting a lot more strings in order to kind of match the pipes. Mm-hmm. But it also has some strings underneath the bridge, which we don't actually strike with the bow. They're called sympathetic strings. Right, so I have the top strings.
And those down below are freely ringing.
And then I have
ringing.
The ones underneath, which I'm only plucked to tune. Mm-hmm. What happens is once you strike the top ones with the bow, the bottom ones vibrate if they're in tune. It's, mm-hmm. This violin really needs to be perfectly in tune to work well. But when you hit those top strings, you get this wonderful ring that goes on for a very long time. And you can play with different tunings and have different notes ring depending on the keys. It does kind of limit your ability to play in all keys. It's not as versatile key-wise mm-hmm. as a regular violin because you have to kind of retune. But it has a wonderful, eerie, kind of wonderful sound and has a nice mix with the pipes. So
I note it has a tremendous amount of sustain, like you mentioned. And that's actually one of the ways you choose a piano. You look for pianos and you find a range up near the top where there are no dampers, and you strike a key and you listen to how long it lasts. And those strings up there vibrate sympathetically as well.
Yeah.
Onto the bouzouki. I'm sorry I called it a guitar.
That's all right.
No. Is this in the family of guitars then? It's clearly shaped like one.
Well, sort of, yeah. Mandolin, lute. Yeah, they all come from basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. This is a hybrid of a bouzouki and a guitar. And it's commonly known as a bizarre. And
fair enough.
Other people call it a gazooki.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's basically a bouzouki with a guitar body. That's all it is.
Okay.
So, and we're not familiar with bouzouki. It's a double strung instrument like a big mandolin, basically. But it's
same tuning as guitars or different?
Well, I use open tuning, so it's all modal.
Okay.
So it's just one chord.
Got it.
Which sits well with the Irish music too. So you get
indeed. Care to play another tune for us?
Sure. We'll sing a song, I think.
Oh, very good.
You'll sing a song.
I'll sing a song.
We'll sing back up, right? No.
Yeah, I'll do a song. A song called "Mary and the Soldier," and it's a classic sort of themed love song from the tradition.
Come all you lads of high renown, that would hear of a fair young maiden, and she rode out of a summer's day for to view the soldiers parading. Well, they match a bowl and he looked so gay, the colours flying and the bands did play. Well, a causing Mary far to say, I'll wed Jimmy gallant soldier. Well, she viewed the soldiers on parade, and as they stood at their leisure, and Mary to herself did say, now at last I found my treasure. But oh, how cruel me parents must be, to banish me darling so far from me. Well, I'll leave them all and I'll go with thee, me bald undaunted soldier. Ah, Mary, dear, your parents love, now I pray don't be unruly, for when you're in a foreign land, now believe me, you'll rue it surely. Perhaps in battle I might fall from a shot from an angry cannonball, and you so far from your daddy's hall, be advised by a gallant soldier. I have 50 guineas in bright gold. Likewise a heart that's belder, and I'll lave them all and I'll go with you. I'm a bold undaunted soldier, so don't say no but let me go, and I will face the daring foe. I will march together to and fro, and I'll wed Jimmy Garland's soldier. Now any sore loyalty and Mary so true-hearted, he said me darling married will be, and nothing but death will part us. And when we're in a foreign land, I'll guard you darling with my right hand, in hopes that God might stand a friend for Mary and her gallant soldier. The God might stand a friend for Mary and her gallant soldier.
You know, this is the greatest job in the world, sitting here and listening to you folks play live music for us. That's the group Open the Door for Three. They will be playing tonight. Come out and see them at the Independent Media Center in Urbana, 202 South Broadway Avenue. The show starts at 8, part of the Piper's Hut Concert Series. To my left, Kieran O'Hare, Ilan Pipes and Whistle. Straight ahead of me, Liz Knowles, Fiddle. And to my right, Pat Broders, who sang that song and also playing the bouzouki for us. Got me to think about Mary and the Soldier was the title of that, right?
Yes.
Indeed. When I listen to this kind of music, oh, hang on a sec before I get to my question. Business first, sorry. Today's broadcast made possible with support from these business partners: Fertilizer Dealer Supply, Philo Cannon Farm, Camargo, Jarman Center, Tuscola, The Andersons, Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you. All right, so we're listening to traditional music, and I got to find my questions, and that would be, what part of traditional music is fixed, as in always the same, as in, for example, the chord progressions and the way they rotate, and what's improvised?
Ah, this is a very, very good question.
Because I hear traditional music, I teach music, I try to listen to traditional music with an open ear to try and catch on. Okay, what are they doing that's similar, repeating? Where is it being improvised? And does it change per performance?
Well, I guess you could say that, let's just keep it within Irish traditional music.
Sure,
there is a vast canon of melodies, both slow and faster tunes, and of songs in the English and Irish languages from which we draw. And mm-hmm. that would be the body that we would call the tradition. However, the tradition of music itself is a growing thing. People add to it by composing new songs and composing new tunes and having new ways of playing things. And in general, the tradition, that which fits within the tradition stays, and that which sort of bounces off the tradition goes. So there's always been a very, very healthy back and forth between tradition and innovation. And that goes down to the instruments that we play. I mean, it sounds like a very ancient instrument, the Irish Ilan pipes, this type of bagpipe. But really, it just came into the music in the late 18th century. And in the grand scheme of things, that's not that long ago to have some bizarre form of bagpipe evolve and enter into a musical tradition. I mean, even in the 20th century, we had the introduction of the accordion into Irish music, the banjo, which there are those who believe both of these would bounce off, and those who accept them, willingly. Pat's very instrument, the bouzouki, came into Irish music in the late 60s or early 70s.
Yeah. Okay.
So, it's fit into the tradition, at least into, the way that we play the tradition. So there's a healthy, we like, if the tradition stops growing, then, it's moribund. And then the other side of it is that so much of it depends on who the listener is. You can give the finest wine in the world to someone who isn't a connoisseur of wines, and it won't matter a bit. But it's like traditional music. If you play it for an educated audience, There are those who will detect the nuances in a person's playing and where they are improvising or where they're bringing in new ways or interpretations of tunes. And that's one of the many reasons that we love coming to the Champaign-Urbana region, is because over the years, Dean Karas, who is the head of the Piper's Hut Concert Series, has developed an extremely loyal and educated following for traditional music. And I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that it's one of the very finest in the entire country. So it's always a great pleasure to come down and play for Dean and his audience.
Well, Dean's sitting with us too quietly in the corner, and he is taking in those words and smiling with good reason. And I think you're right, Karen, when you talk about our audiences. We know as well with the Classical Music Service and the talk radio and the TV, our audiences are just, they're tremendous and tremendously generous when it comes to supporting public radio. Keeping an eye on the time because you want to play some more. I don't know if I'm satisfied, don't get me wrong, with your answer about where improvisation comes in. Because there are times, you know, like in the last tune I'm listening, there's times where Liz and Kieran were playing in unison, and there are other times where you were harmonizing, and I'm not sure who was harmonizing whom. Based on my listening, I think the pipes was harmonizing the fiddle, but it could have gone both ways. Where does improvisation play a role in traditional music?
Absolutely. I mean, I think as individual players, I think all of us would have a slightly different background in terms of how we came to the music and how we learned the music. I think all three of us have spent at least some amount of time, if not a significant amount of time, mining archival, what I would call archival recordings or mm-hmm. recordings of older players from not our generation. And certainly I'm from Kentucky originally, so I did not grow up with Irish music. And for me, kind of learning from recordings and from live players when I can get a hold of them and be around them, you'd want to be very, or I would want to be very true to those gleanings of learning the music. However, I often tell my students or tell people in workshops that kind of learning Irish music and learning a tune is often like the game of telegraph, in that I could teach you this tune today, and if I met you again in 3 years, you might be playing it slightly differently, you know, uh-huh. and that could be a conscious choice. That could be that you learned several versions from somebody else along the way.
It's
could also be
it's being an oral tradition as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely, yeah. Indeed. And some of it is just a matter of taste and deciding to make those choices. And then certainly there's the improvisation thing in the moment that happens that just kind of inspires you. But we, at least for myself, I try to think that my improvisations are based on a bank of knowledge of the music and the tradition and of other players. And I'm trying to reference those things within certain parameters. And certainly as a band, we decide to do certain things very clearly, certain mm-hmm. harmonies, things that maybe wouldn't have been classed as traditional, you know.
There are certain things that are set arrangements that we would have, and then certain other, you know, musical embellishments or flourishes or melodic flights of fancy happen in the moment. It's very much a melodic tradition, and so, you know, I would say the quick answer is we don't improvise over chord progressions like jazz players might, but within the melodies, these thousands and thousands of tunes that we'd know in our heads, we you know, you're able to reference maybe the playing of a great fiddle player of the past, and then have your own ways of approaching, you know, just maybe a two-bar phrase in mm-hmm. the tune that changes it around, and within the tradition anyway, mm-hmm. makes it very, very new and fresh.
It's on a very micro level, the improvisation, rather than on a global level.
I appreciate you mentioning jazz, because when we think of improv, that's one of the kinds of music and that sort of thing where improvisation is really important to it, as it were. You mentioned the chord changes. I often wonder, listening to the chord changes, if you have a series of four in a row, do you always do them the same way, or do you sometimes switch them around? Because I listen to some traditional music.
I have no idea.
I listened to some traditional music Sunday. We went to a party, and they had a fiddle player and some other people. And at times, it sounded like they were moving the placement of the chords. Clearly, your tonic and dominants are going to land in the same place. But the filler chords, sort of moving around. You move your A minor, use an E minor instead, and vice versa.
Well, this I come from a classical background, so mm-hmm. I would have had a lot of, you know, training and theory and harmony. And what I find interesting about Irish music is that the very melodies kind of leave an openness to various types of chord backing. If you, mm-hmm. You know, people have tried putting sort of jazz chords or classical chords. I'm generalizing here, but it actually, I think it's one of the reasons that Irish music is so well loved around the world in so many different contexts and can be put in a very contemporary setting as well as a very traditional setting in terms of the stuff that's around it, which would be the chords and the instrumentation. I mean, we have orchestras. Kieran and I have played with the New York Pops playing mm-hmm. huge orchestra arrangements of Irish music. And, you know, that's not traditional, but it works. There's Indeed. Something about it that works. And I have my theory is that it's the strength of the melodies that yes. and this openness of the melodies that allow for a lot of different interpretations in terms of chords. So, I mean, at the end of the day, this music was initially a melodic instrument. I mean, we would be just playing these melodies with no backing whatsoever. Right. Maybe a dancer, maybe some rhythm, maybe not. But they stand on their own. But then when you add this stuff, you have a lot of wiggle room in terms of the choices to make. And hopefully, Pat, I mean, I think you've experienced you can play around with what you put to that. Those tunes, various tunes.
Yeah, I don't come from a chordal background. I play a melody instrument. That was my first instrument. I picked this up as a secondary thing. So I'm not thinking of chords. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the tune all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. like I'm following the melody rather than the chord. So if somebody was to say, you know, can you play a diminished chord? I wouldn't know what they're talking about, really.
Yeah.
But I know what I hear and I know how to fit it in.
Absolutely.
And with this particular instrument, because it's such a drone-y type instrument, chords are one thing, but you can also fill in counter melody with it, which sort of moves everything in a different direction.
I did hear much of that. Well, please play us some more. What's next?
Let's try three reels, will we?
Yeah.
They're the first two are tunes that Liz got out of a collection of Irish music called Kilrink and the Heron, which means the dance music of Ireland. And all three of them come from these collections.
Yeah.
Collected in the mid 20th century, I'd say. And we call the whole set the Grand Gates of Annisbrook.
Thank you.
That was the group Open the Door for Three, Kieran O'Hare, Ilan Pipes, Liz Knowles, Fiddler, Pat Broders on the bouzouki, playing, if I got that right, the Grand Gates of...
Annisbrook.
Annisbrook, thank you. They'll be performing tonight at 8 at the Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway Avenue, Urbana. And is there a cover charge or no? What's, Dean, is there?
$20 for adults. $10 for students and seniors.
Well, it was not the amount I was interested in, because all I had to do is let people know there is an admission charge. Yeah, it's public radio. You've got to be careful about those things. There will be an admission charge. I wonder, are you encouraging dancing at the event? Because how could you sit still through this music? My gosh, I want to get out of my chair and dance.
Well, we've
got a little costume for you to wear. Believe
me, I'm not a costumer. Come Halloween, you'll see me wearing this. I don't change a thing. That brings me to, I have a whole series of questions just after listening to that. I'll try to make them quick and short. Those were three reels. Now, are reels, am I hearing this right, in 4/4 time?
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. Lots of 16th notes in there. So I'm sitting here imagining, boy, if I was to learn how to play this music, I would have to hang tough. It'd be like a bebop jazz section, and I'd be out the door right away because I could only get, you know, maybe one note every four beats, you know. Must be fun to learn this stuff. All oral tradition, or there are tune books. Some of these you learn actually from tune books,
well,
if you read too, depending.
You know, the old way would not be. I mean, in general, most people would learn the tunes by ear.
Yeah.
You know, if you grew up playing this music like I did or like Pat did, you'd learn all this, you know, the music by ear. But there have been collections of Irish music for the last 300 years, two or 300 years, you know, for which we refer back to get, you know, just the basic bones of a melody. But in terms of putting the stylistic touch on it, that comes from having gathered an oral knowledge of it. So if your style of playing is within that tradition, you can take something off the printed page if you happen to read music, which many people don't in this tradition, and make it, you know, render it within the tradition.
Mm-hmm. I come from a classical background, and I love going through tune books because I could literally take a tune book without my instrument and read it and know what
and
tune is a good
it,
one
it,
and
yeah.
try it. However, when I go to learn it, I would record that tune into a tape, me playing that tune from the book into a tape recorder, and then I'd learn it for myself. It just doesn't, at least for me, work to learn it right off the page because you're not getting the flavor. It's impossible to get that flavor from the page. You're just basically getting the skeleton of the tune, and it's better, at least for me, to hear it rather than to see it. It's fine to find it that way, but
makes
to learn
sense.
It, yeah.
When we teach jazz, often we say, transcribe it. As in listen and transcribe
Absolutely.
It. You learn so much more that way. You talk about collections. It begs the question. People out there say, how on earth do you collect folk songs? They're not like these objects. I understand how you collect folk songs, but maybe the average person wouldn't.
Well, you try to be as innocuous as you can in a community of people that you're trying to get some history and information and be as kind and as... it takes time. It takes a lot of time.
You know, individual musicians, we're always looking to learn a new tune from someone. I mean, maybe Dean Karras this evening will have a jig that I've never heard before that he'll play, and I'll want to learn it off of. But there have been collectors in the history of this music who have systematically gone, you know, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, and traveled around Ireland and around Irish communities in the States and collected melodies. And the most famous of these was actually in Chicago, a gentleman by the name of Captain Francis O'Neill, who was for a year the superintendent of police there. There are rumors, of course, that he actually deliberately hired musicians fresh off the boat from Ireland 100 years ago and more, just who played music just so he could basically get their tunes off them. And he published these hugely influential collections of the dance music and some of the melodies to songs in Irish music, and this has been going on for a long time.
So he would, I guess that the thing is that you try to ingratiate yourself to people who would welcome you in, and then you listen and transcribe, right?
Because
Bartok collected folk songs, Cecil Sharp, the Americans, John Lomax and Alan Lomax collected folk songs. How on earth do you collect a folk song? That's how you do it.
Yeah.
And then back in the early 1900s, they came out, of course, with early recording machines. People got into field recordings and all that, as it were. Name of the group. Okay, we've gotten there. Open the Door for Three. It's named after What's this, an old slip jig, they say?
Yeah, this is another type of dance tune called a slip jig. So rather than being 6/8, two beats of three, we have three beats of three. It's almost like a waltz and a jig thrown in. It's one of my favorite types of tunes. And this is also one we pulled from a collection, from the Goodman Collection. And it's a tune called Open the Door for Three, and we thought it was perfect. We've been playing it for probably over 10 years. I added a third part to it. There's the traditional... there's the modification of the traditional music, and we're putting it with another tune also found in a collection that's a lullaby. The title was only Lullaby.
Yeah, and for the Open the Door for Three, it was a fantastic coincidence that we just happened to get hold of www.openthedoorforthree.com and an accompanying Facebook page in order to get that name out. So we have a 200-year-old slip jig and a modern Facebook page and website, which you can check out.
Terrific. Care to play the tune for us?
Sure.
Very good. This is the tune that the group gets its name from. Open the Door for Three, tonight at 8 at the Independent Media Center in Urbana. opened the door for three, performing the tune that they get their name from. Open the Door for Three. Kieran O'Hare on, starting out with the whistle and then switching to Illan pipes. Liz Knowles on fiddle and Pat Broders on bouzouki. They will be playing tonight at 8 o'clock at the Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway Avenue in Urbana. There is an admission charge, but come out and hear these fine folks play.
Yes, do.
Please do. This is tremendous. Absolutely. I'm really lucky to be sitting here in front of these three folks listening to this great music. Let me take a minute to take care of some business, as always, in radio, right? Because that's what makes it go. Take WILL with you anywhere you go. If you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, the new WILL app is free and allows you to stream our AM and FM stations, listen to past episodes, your favorite programs on demand, and much more. For more information about how to find the WILL radio app in the App Store or Google Play, visit our website at will.illinois.edu. Will programming made possible by Krannert Art Museum presenting an Open Studio 2 dance performance and gallery conversation of Live Dancing Archive featuring Jennifer Monson, professor in dance, this evening at 7:30 p.m. A public reception with the artists follows the performance. We have about 12 minutes left in the program, and I do want to have you play some more. Then it comes down to any of my remaining questions, and that would be, for example, one or two of them. One is, and I think you hinted at it before, Kieran and Pat sort of grew up in the tradition of it, but Liz, you were classically trained. So one of my questions was, how did you come to this kind of music? You sort of answered it. So how did a classically trained player come to Irish music?
Well, in a strange, well, not so strange. I grew up in Kentucky playing classical music. Didn't play any old time, no bluegrass. I grew up
that
in the bluegrass
really
and didn't play
odd,
any bluegrass. Yeah,
yeah,
I know, bizarre. I'm the first generation to be brought up in Kentucky, so I guess it's not all that surprising that we didn't have connections to the music there. But I moved to New York to go to school, SUNY Stony Brook on Long Island, and wouldn't say that I was disillusioned with classical music, but I was definitely exposed to a lot more suddenly, and started playing in rock and roll bands and doing some jazz. And there was a lot of world music happening at that particular college. Some courses that I took played a lot of early music and Baroque music, and really loved the Baroque and early music. And at the same time, sort of was exposed to Irish music. So the idea of dance forms in music just really clicked with me. And Irish music, especially, I always describe it that I feel like my DNA just kind of went, hello, all right, this is it. This is what I want to do. I heard a few fiddle players, some very well-known fiddle players in the scene, Brian Conway, Brendan Mulvihill, and Eileen Ivers, to name three, mm-hmm. and just couldn't believe that the violin could sound like that, and just started kind of just as a side thing. I never thought it was going to be my career or my life, but I just said, I must be able to sound like that, and just went from there. So the rest is history.
Terrific. And you're Kieran's American, and I understand that you're an award winner, receiving an honor, the first American-born player of Irish music invited to perform in the annual Ace and Deuce of Piping concert. That's quite an honor, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nerve-wracking.
I can imagine as well. That's why I'm an educator, not a performer. I can't stand that nervousness of perfection. So that must have been quite an honor. The other questions I would have broadly for the three of you would be, how was it playing in these great, big, huge events like River Dance and Cherish the Ladies and all these sorts of touring companies? Feel free to answer any and all.
We've all been very, very fortunate in that our music careers, such as they are, have been widely varied. And we've worked, in doing traditional, smaller scale traditional music concerts like this project, which is the dearest to our hearts at the moment, Open the Door for Three. We love playing shows like we're doing tonight. But, Liz and Pat and I spent the last 5 years or so based in France as Liz and I were music directors of a large theatrical production there. And we traveled all over the world doing that, and you know, we feel very much with this project and this album, Open the Door for Three, that we've sort of come back home to the music that we started playing. And we've been all over the world, as I say, doing all sorts of different things and all sorts of different media. But this is where we started out. And, you know, we've been really emphasizing this project over the last almost a year, simply because we're fed up with, you know, we're fed up playing, you know, giant arenas and that sort of thing. And it's lovely to be able to come back and get back on a level with people and of the music we started playing.
Tremendous. We're down to about 9 minutes, and I'd like to have you play some more so that we can get in one more track, eh?
Sure.
Yeah, because I have to finish up with some business, like a cultural calendar. Let people know what's going on.
Should we do Tom and the
Sure.
Tom and the Pikemen? We call this set Tom and the Pikemen. We start with a march and go into a couple of jigs from there.
Open the Door for Three on Live and Local.
All right. Thank you.
behind us. Open the Door for Three. What's the tune again? Sorry.
That was Three Jigs. It's off our album. It's called Tom and the Pikemen.
Tom and the Pikemen. That was voice of Kieran O'Hare, Ilan Pipes. We have Liz Knowles on fiddle and Pat Broders on bouzouki. They are Open the Door for Three. That's what they call themselves. They will be performing tonight at 8. Be there. Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway in Urbana. Tremendous, folks. I've really enjoyed it. My last question, and I hope it's a quick answer, how do you all know when to stop? Because these tunes seem to go on forever, and then you kind of look at each other and you say, that's it, that's enough of those.
Sometimes it's just, it's fear. Time.
It's just time. Yeah. No, I understand. That's tremendous. I figured it was a case of, eye contact and that sort of thing.
Sure,
but again, watching you play, Kieran has his eyes open, Pat had his, and Liz had hers closed. And so then you, of course, opened them to give the signal, whatever. So tremendous. Our guests today on Live and Local with Kevin Kelly, I'm Vincent Trouth, filling in today, is the group Open the Door for Three. Again, tonight, the event at 8, Independent Media Center, 202 South Broadway in Urbana.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for
very much. You're most welcome. Let me get a cultural calendar in here. And, of course, these folks included in that, starting at 8 tonight. Many of the events coming up of interest to our listeners, not necessarily Irish music. This is the weekend of the Allerton Music Barn Festival. And tonight at 7:30 is the premiere of the Gunther Schuller Quintet for Horn and Strings with hornist Bernard Scully. That's at 7:30 at Allerton Park. There will be a 6:30 pre-concert discussion with the composer himself. There's other events tonight. Iron Post has the UFI Jazz Band at 7. Clark Barn has Greg Klima. Great Tune at Conklin's Barn. Friday, Allerton Music Barn Festival at 7:30 p.m. It's Swing, 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 remembering Benny Goodman's Carnegie Hall concert with Ken Peplowski clarinet and Chip McNeil. Other events on Friday include the Monticello Theater's Odd Couple, 7:30, and Sunday, 2:30, and the Millikan Fall Family Concerto Concert at Central Christian Church Decatur at 6. On Saturday, Allerton Music Barn Festival at 7:30 p.m., pianist William Hylas with a program of Bach and Schumann. And then Sunday with the Allerton Music Barn Festival at 2 and 7, a concert performance of George Gershwin's Of Thee I Sing. That's pretty rare to hear that, so if you get a chance to go out and see that. Other events in our area, The Odd Couple, a Saturday at the Monticello Theater Association, Phoenix, and an evening with Audra McDonald, Krannert Center, Urbana, 7:30 p.m. And quick weather forecast, chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, low of 68. Friday, not as warm, high 78, chance of showers and thunderstorms as well. Support comes from Corkscrew Wine Emporium in Urbana. The Corkscrew's Bouvan Wine Bar features live music this Friday night from 7 to 9. It's the Yellow Jacket String Band, and on Saturday, 6 to 8, at the Traditional Jazz Orchestra. More information is on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. You're listening to 90.9 WILL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W293AF Danville, NPR, and Classical Music for Central Illinois. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's Live and Local with Kevin Kelly. I'm Vincent Trouth. My guests today have been Open the Door for Three, Kieran O'Hare, Liz Knowles, and Pat Broders. Thank you, folks. It's been tremendous fun.
Thanks so much.
Come on out tonight to hear the group at the Independent Media Center in Urbana. They start at 8, and that's at 202 South Broadway in Urbana, Illinois. In Open the Door for Three, Ilan Pipes, Kieran O'Hare, and Whistle, Liz Knowles on the fiddle, and Pat Broders' vocals and bouzouki. So, Live and Local with Kevin Kelly, I'm Vincent Trouth. Thanks so much for your company. All Things Considered from NPR is next. It's 5 o'clock.